Today, we kicked off our annual state assessment series, and Brian and I have seen across the state. State of Texas began administering STAR tests today. Today, we administered tests to 4th and 7th grade students in writing, and then 5th and 8th grade students in mathematics, and 9th grade students in English 1. Across the board, the vast majority of our students experienced a normal testing environment with no key issues. However, there is a proportion of our population that takes a test known as STAR A or STAR Accommodated, and that particular test is online because it does give the students certain accommodations that are per their individual needs. And that is where the crux of the problem lies today with state assessments. We have a new testing vendor in Texas. The current vendor is ETS, and they won the bid or the award from last year, and this is their first year to run testing for Texas. And there have been some concerns today in particular with the online testing platform. It has not been reliable. It has not been stable. And in fact, many students lost all of the answers they submitted today. When I say many, we're talking several dozen students and a wide range of issues. Not all lost all of their answers, but certainly a number of them did, and or were locked out entirely from their testing situations or their testing sessions once they began the assessment. So, it's frustrating when teachers and students work hard all year on learning the curriculum. They want to show what they know. And a test is only one way to measure that. However, it is a measure that is required in the state of Texas. And so when we sit down to those tests, we want to do our absolute best. It's hard to do that when you can't access the test loses your answers, and you're having to resubmit them, or the accommodations are inconsistently provided through the platform. So, some frustrations there, certainly. I was quite pleased with the staff and how they handled kind of de-escalating situations and making sure we're making decisions that are best for kids. This is a statewide issue. We were one of many districts contacting the vendor as well as TEA. TEA was quite responsive, and we were really grateful for their quick feedback and turnaround.
The TEA, how far have they gone so far to tell y'all and Bryan ISD what's going to become of the students who had trouble with the online version?
That's a great question. Today we had several students, a handful of students certainly, that their documents, when they came back to log into their testing session, all of their answers were gone again. And, it's certainly not fair for the student to continue to have to repeat the test in the same testing day. And so, and especially given the vendor could not, ETS being the vendor, could not guarantee the answers would be there when the student did hit submit. So TEA actually told us to log the student out. They understood the student's test would not be scored or submitted to the state. And in doing so, that kind of puts us in a predicament of, which testing documents for STAR accommodated tests, again, remembering that these are just the online versions of these tests, will be counting, which ones won't be counting, and how will they be counted. So that is still up in the air. But again, TEA was very responsive to our questions, where when we would call the vendor for the state assessment, we were on hold for well over 3 hours with no results whatsoever.
But again, it has to be frustrating for students and parents and teachers and administrators that this happened, first of all. Secondly, the lack of response from the vendor, and you don't have answers from TEA on what's going to become of these students' tests, and what's the best scenario now for these students that have been impacted?
The best scenario now is to not put them through this again. And honestly, we have more testing coming tomorrow with 5th and 8th grade reading. And then on Thursday, we have English 2 exams. And then the next round of testing is in early May. And so just not making them go through this process again of frustration. Students, they want to do their best. They want to do the best for themselves. They want to do the best for their teachers and for their families. And when they sit down to a testing environment, there's certainly, you know, for some kids going to be some anxiety. And we certainly don't need to exacerbate that or create an environment which escalates it. So the best scenario for them is not do this to them again.
How then will you determine whether those particular students passed the 4th and 7th grade writing and 5th and 8th grade math and English 1 then?
What we're hearing at this point, and again, there's nothing definitive from TEA on this. It is their decision and not ours. It's a statewide decision because, again, there are reports from across the state about similar circumstances and actually quite more alarming circumstances in terms of student results and student tests. But what we're hearing from them now is that these students will not submit a 4th or 7th grade writing assessment. With 5th and 8th grade mathematics, it is a different situation. That test has a retest option in May. And so students who are not successful on those exams retest due to the Student Success Initiative, which is state law, where they must pass 5th and 8th grade math and reading in order to be promoted to the next grade level, unless there's a grade placement committee. I would anticipate, that TEA will have us retest those students in May whose tests were not accepted during this window of time.
But as for the 4th grade and 7th grade writing, you would suggest
be submitting them.
And you would be suggesting that TEA comes up with another set of standards to determine whether those students pass those proficiencies?
I think we'll get a no-score report on each of those students, and they will not be included in any calculation.
And is this something...
And we simply won't have data.
With the test, with 4th grade and 7th grade writing, are students required to pass those to advance?
That's a good question. Yeah, the good thing about that particular situation is there's absolutely no promotion harm or no standard harm to the child. And so... And that would be what we'd want to see. We'd want to see that there's no repercussions to the child as a result of not having completed that test because of the online environment. However, from the district perspective and the campus perspective, those student scores will not be included in the campus or the district's accountability.
Which could be a good thing. It could also be a bad thing, depending on how the students' performances turned out.
Certainly, but I would want to know the reality of how our students perform, so I would welcome their scores being included.
What else have I missed?
As much as possible, the district has done everything possible to prepare for this moment and prevent this moment and do right by our students when things are out of our control in terms of a state vendor and a statewide issue with assessment.
The number that Brandon sent in the email was 40 students. Being affected is that still an accurate estimate?
As of this moment, yes, sir. That seems to be an accurate number. We're still getting reports in from the campuses. I believe we have a pretty good grip on that at this point, and that is a pretty accurate number.
Again, this happened on the first day of testing. What would be the message to parents of these students who have yet to take or will be taking additional online tests?
Absolutely. You know, it would be the same message as always. Have a good night's sleep. Have a good breakfast. Come ready to take a test to show what you know. And don't worry about the rest. It'll take care of itself. Be calm. Be flexible. And know that we're going to be right there with their child.